Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravo. Ronnie is still at BravoCon and we are in the middle of this Beverly Hills recap. It's a two-parter, so if you're missing part one, go back in the feed and check it out. Take a look over there because that's where part one is. And now join me and guest host Ray Sani as we go into part two of Beverly Hills. So anyway...
Are you kidding me? Gonna go over and fucking rehab?
There were photos of Shannon at BravoCon. They're like, look at Shannon. Looks like she's not drinking. I was like, okay. Report that to Vanity Fair.
Follow her on that, though. We shouldn't be on her ass about that.
Well, no, it was supportive. It was a supportive post. It was like, look at her.
You shouldn't take a picture at all, supportive or not. Like, I don't know. I would hate to be a public figure who needs to get sober. You guys are all aware of it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's true. But that being said, Shannon walking the dog after she crashed her car into a house still is one of the funniest things. I'm sorry. Drunk driving is horrific, and I think that there should be great repercussions for
it. It's also, when someone doesn't get hurt, it's fucking hilarious. Like, what? The things people do to cover up their drunk driving is so funny to me. Like, Joe Judice, like,
oh, yeah. He flipped his car, and then he's like, yeah, and so I was right near my dad's house, my father-in-law's house, so I went up there.
I just went to my house to relax
I
and
took
calm
five
down,
shots to
I
calm
had
down.
Four drinks there. Like, what?
Please stop. You know, listen, I think that, like, in general, like, we need to have separation of church and state in terms of, like, we have to, like, be able to acknowledge that certain, like, drunk driving, for instance, is horrific and that no one thinks that's funny. Obviously, same with, like, things like racism or any of the ills of our society. But we should also be able to see the things that are funny that come out of these things, because there's a lot of funny stuff that comes out. Less so of racism, but more of drunk driving or just any terrible antic.
No. But also with racism, too, because sometimes the way people misbehave is so illogical and so absurd. Like, you just have to laugh. Like, did you really just, like, walk into the store and call me 10 N-words because I was drinking chocolate milk? Like, is that really what you did today? Like, sometimes it's so absurd.
Yeah, we have to be able to appreciate the absurdity. And I always feel like that's what Bravo has been really good at. And so it's been hard.
Which is why it blows my mind that people are trying to take them down for documenting how absurd these absurd
exactly
people are.
That is the central premise of, I would say, the whole network. Like, we are rubbernecking people who are misfits in society. It's like, how are these people functioning in polite society? I'm not here to hang out with people I want to be my friends. I'm here to look at terrible people and how do they function, you know?
If you ever in your life thought that, like, Shannon Bedore should be, like, the leader of your friend group and your moral compass, you are a dummy.
Yeah.
This woman is scared of the placement of lemons in her house, and you want her to be, like, the figment of, like, responsibility? Get out of here.
Get out of here. Okay, so Jeff is sad because he misses his wife that he abandoned and left to die in a global pandemic.
Why can't you just be with her again? You fucked up real bad is what happened.
He fucked up. So Crystal talks about maybe getting a matchmaker for him. So suddenly we're seeing some sort of matchmaking theme happening. And and then they make some jokes.
I don't need more than one matchmaker on this show. We've already gotten a matchmaker storyline from Garcelle when her storyline flopped a couple seasons ago. Let's be honest here. She flopped with this matchmaker shit like 2 years ago. I don't need it again.
Honestly, the matchmaker thing has never worked on Bravo, with the exception of, I would argue, people are not going to want to hear this, But when a matchmaker went on to Roni and Ramona tried to like work her magic on a guy with a red scarf, and it was just like hilarious watching.
Oh, yeah. Watching and her. Then he liked Carol, right?
He liked or was I think it? He was like set up with Bethany, but I think he went for Carol, but then he flirted with Ramona.
That's the only time matchmaking works, because the women on the OG New York cast did not give a fuck. They would steal your man and they do not care. They will smash your man in front of you. They will pull him to the side. It's almost like how at the strip club, I'm only saying this because I used to be a stripper, like it used to get cutthroat. Like if you left a high rolling customer for 2 minutes because you had to dance on stage, every girl would pounce. That's how they move on the OG Roni cast. They move like strippers at the strip club and a big baller just walks
Harry
in.
Harry Dubin, like the pirate. I mean, that was like...
They really pounce on each other's men.
They did.
It's really quick. And Sonya would be on the shit end every time. Just be like, I had him first. Oh, well, girl, this DJ called you to the stage. This is my lap dance now, you know?
So they have some talk about like finding someone for Jeff, and they joke about like, oh, what if she's like 20 years younger, and talk about how Crystal was, you know, like met Rob and he was 20 years older mm-hmm. than her, and that like when Jeff first met Rob, he was had like a button down on that was unbuttoned down to his navel, which I really didn't need to have that image of Rob.
I need that imagery, right?
I don't think we need to associate that with the Lion King, so anyway, let's go over to the old corral, whatever. Okay, corral with Kyle. Okay, another as dull as this episode was, there were some very funny moments. So Kyle pulls up. She's got this new Range Rover, the autograph edition or whatever it's called, which is funny because like, who's going up to get Kyle's autograph?
She's like, autograph, honestly.
It's gonna be just honestly. Called like I had a role in Halloween Kills edition, you know.
And now you need my signature on this signature card. Girl, get the fuck out of my face.
So she shows up in this Range Rover and Dorit comes over and she's like, oh, gee, I'm so excited for your new car. I mean, even though I literally have the same one, but congratulations. Which is hilarious because it's like, I'm just going to rain on your parade a little bit. But also, like, Ronnie and I have this ongoing theory. Like, Kyle is so jealous of everyone else. She copies everyone else.
She gets something everyone else gets. Absolutely.
Like, if you get a watch, she gets a watch. And here she is getting to Dorit's car.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it was, like, Kathy's car, though.
Probably. It was Kathy's car that she bought for the, quote-unquote, lady. So,
and then Dorit got it, and then Kyle got it.
Yeah. So Dorit's like, but anyway, Kyle, congratulations! I'm obsessed with your car, which is actually really my car if you really think about
it. Wait, time out though. How can Dorit afford that car?
Oh well, I heard she went down to the Tustin Auto Mall with a handbag of $150,000,
$100,000 in her car.
She took a rascal down there and just put it right in the front. She's like, and all the money flew out on the freeway.
Can you put a Range Rover in a cart? Can you do that?
I'd like to buy a Range Rover for Christmas for all my dear friends.
I just reached up to get the Range Rover on the top shelf and I looked back and my bag full of $1 million is missing.
It was so traumatic. There I was walking through Walmart and I saw PK's beautiful yellow face. Turns out that was actually just the Walmart logo. Next thing I knew, my money was gone. So
what if it's just PK stealing his money back from Dorit because he knows that he can't afford any of the purchases that she makes?
Listen, I've seen Ruthless People, okay? That is 100% PK. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
It's with Dan.
What is that?
It's so good. It's from the 80s. Everyone go watch it. It's with Danny DeVito, Bette Midler.
Yeah,
Bette Midler, Judge Reinhold.
Wait, this lineup sounds... You said Judge Reinhold?
Yes.
Wait, time out. Judge... Okay, you know how, like, you'd be having, like, random crushes when you're a young kid?
Of course.
And you, like, don't know why you find this person's particular face very soothing and attractive? Judge Reinhold is one of those faces.
You know what? I get it. I totally get it. I mean, he was cute. He was cute in the 80s. Yeah.
Also, another one of the 80s, like, randomly soothing cute faces is the lead guy from Police Academy. What's
Steve
his
Guttenberg.
Name?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, Steve Guttenberg and Judd Reinhold, I always linked together. They sort
They're
of had
like
that
the same type of face.
There
yes.
was like that face that was popular at that time, like Andrew McCarthy. Like they sort yes. of had that kind of, it was a look. It was a look.
Yeah, so I like Judd Reinhold.
Oh, you would love this movie. So
Judd Reinhold and fucking...
And Helen Slater. And there are some others. But either way, it's basically... Judge Reinhold and Helen Slater kidnap Bette Midler, who's like Danny DeVito's awful wife, and they try to hold her for ransom, but Danny DeVito is so happy that someone finally took care of his wife that he won't pay.
Please take my wife.
It's literally that joke, and like he will not pay the ransom, and it's like hilarity ensues. But what's great is there's a scene where Bette Midler sort of befriends her abductors. And so he does not want her back. And they're like, we give us $50,000 or we'll kill her. And he's like, I'll give you $30,000. Like, fine, $30,000. And Bette Midler goes, wait a second, I've been marked down? That has nothing to do with this episode, but I just want to say.
But definitely PK is Danny DeVito. Like, please.
He's Danny DeVito in any Danny DeVito movie.
Take the money, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. They are definitely up to some ruthless people stuff. Watch that movie. It's definitely Dorit and PK. So Kyle has picked up Dorit to go to lunch. But what Dorit doesn't know is that PK has arranged a giant surprise at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. Because
by this, I did not.
No, this felt like a last minute thing where they're like, oh shit, we need to film today. PK, do you have some idea of what we could do? So they're going to recreate for their anniversary. He's going to recreate meticulously Pretty Woman. And Kyle said exactly what I was thinking, which is shocking. But Kyle's like, does PK know exactly
what that movie's about?
Does he realize what role he's putting his wife in at this moment?
Generally speaking, the fact that pop culture romanticizes that movie in general is kind of crazy. It's like, okay, she's a rundown prostitute and this man can't control himself. Like, what are we,
Yeah.
Hey, okay.
It should have been a step forward, honestly, for the entire profession. Really should have been a breakthrough movie, but the only takeaway was like, stay away from Jason Alexander.
I know, truly. He's a creep. Oh, okay. So weirdos rape prostitutes. Got it.
Got it.
Okay, thanks.
Great soundtrack.
But it's all okay if you take me shopping on Rodale Drive.
Yeah. So Dorit and Kyle are driving, and Dorit basically is like, Kyle, is like everything okay with you? I feel like there's like a certain heaviness, which I'm like, you're not allowed to say that on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I know, truly. She's going to go throw up in the bathroom right away.
Heaviness is a four-letter word on this cast, okay?
I was so shocked. And whatever, like, I've just been living my real life, so I'm not calorie counting the way. But, like, they really care about this stuff. They really care about being skinny. I forgot
they do.
How hard LA is to be a woman in.
Yeah, it's they really do. So Kyle's basically denying. She's like, oh, you know, like, things are fine. You know, like, Mauricio's just been, like, really stressed with work. And, like, Kyle's tongue just starts, like, doing laps around her lips. Like, that's how you can tell she's lying. She's like, yeah. No, like everything's fine. Everything's like totally fine right now.
Wait, it's like a froggy thing though, like it's a like quick dart.
It is. It's like lizard like. It's like hum, hum, hum. It's like she's always catching a fly. Yeah. So she's basically saying, Dorit's saying that, like, you know, she and PK used to always have dinner with Kyle and Mauricio and go on vacations. They haven't seen them in forever, and she feels like something is really up, and you know, she's not even seeing Mauricio on Kyle's Instagram anymore. And so Kyle's saying, you know, oh, I just need some freedom and space from the intensive workload that Kyle has on a day-to-day basis.
I want to be sympathetic. I really do. And I think I am. But something feels so childish about the way she's going about all of this.
Yes, it feels a little petulant a little.
Yeah. Like, okay, I understand. Like, first of all, when did she start calling him Mo? When was that?
I mean, I think the Mo thing has been around for a while because I seem to remember Kim Richards calling him Mo when they went on.
She called him Maurice.
Yeah.
She did call Maurice. And then, like, so for me, I was like, okay, Kyle's calling him Mo. Like, she's dissociating from him, right? Because she calls him Mauricio. Mm. So if she's giving him a nickname, there's some distance she's creating, right?
Yeah.
Emotionally. But, like, everything else, like, just feels so kiddish. It's like,
rebellious, like teenage rebellion.
What?
Like teenage rebellion, right?
Yeah, it's like if you're mad at your man, just tell your man he's annoying you. Like, what is, like, I just didn't get, you know. And, like, I think that she, like, I don't know
she
what,
needs,
but it.
She
but
needs projects. Like she needs projects. Yeah. That's why she has children. You know, she has children. Bored. She has Kim. She has Teddy, you know.
And he doesn't need her, right?
He doesn't need her. She's not getting probably the same attention from the kids that she was once getting. Right. She, mm-hmm. She's always...
Her and Kathy are broken up.
Yeah.
When they're at this part of filming, because I think they got back together.
It looks like they're back.
But her and Kathy are broken up at this part of filming. She says to us, she told us she took a break from all the friends in the group, right? So she broke up with Rinna, broke up with Erica a little bit.
Listen, and I hold space for the fact that Mauricio may just be... like a shitty husband too. Like he could be like totally emotionally distant and awful and yada, yada, yada. But from what we're seeing on camera, like the vibe that I'm really getting more of is that Kyle is being kind of like, kind of bratty, you know? And
I agree with you a little bit in that, like, I think that Mauricio has not changed. Right. But I don't think he's been good the whole time. I just think he hasn't changed. Right. For me, Mauricio's always been a stoned cheater, but he loves Kyle enough that it didn't bother her. Right. Maybe it bothers her now. She's sober. Right. It's been, what, 7 months mm-hmm. since she drank?
But like,
so she's cognizant of it. She's bored. She's sober. Her kids don't need her anymore. Like, being Mauricio's wife probably isn't enough anymore. But I would just say that. I would be like, yo, Mauricio, I need more from you than mm-hmm. I'm going to show your mom my tattoos.
Yeah. like last week she was like, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Oh my God. Are you done yet? Can we, like, I'm waiting for you. Yeah. And then he like sits down to talk with her.
Get off the phone, Dad. Get off the phone.
I got a tattoo. Yeah, I've got five of them now. Oh my God, look at my body. You would know.
You can't say anything about it. You can't do anything about it.
I was like, you made him get off the phone just to be like, huh. It's like, it was like a weird energy to me.
That is such a teenage thing to do. It's just like, call attention to yourself. And then when you get the attention, go, yeah.
Exactly.
That's all she's doing.
So they get to the hotel and the concierge is like, Miss Richards, we've been expecting you at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. Here's your key. And she's like, what's going on? Has anyone seen my handbag of $500,000? I'm scared, Kyle.
Don't leave my handbag alone with the maids in the room, Kyle.
So meanwhile, here's some great news for you, Ray. Garcelle is at home and she's told her assistant she wants to go to the crystal store later on because there's going to be a pink moon. All right. And then we go over to Sutton and she's setting a table with Avi and Garcelle shows up and Sutton has gotten barbecue and like cornbread and all this stuff. And Sutton is talking about her matchmaker and everything and how it's like really hard, like, you know, the traditional male female thing. And she says, I was not invited to the boardroom of our marriage. And we all know all the power happens in the boardroom and I was missing out on all the good stuff. And what should we do with the money? So, she's talking about basically her husband said, be a mom, sit there in the corner, and I'm going to like take away all your power.
I'm very sympathetic to her. I'm just curious because she got married in like 1990, right? That's what the screen said. Something.
Well, they showed a picture of her with like a baby in 2002.
In 2002. And but her wedding picture was earlier. Earlier. But I was very curious because I know she's from the South. I know they're from the South. But her wedding picture was in New York City in like the 90s. So I'm kind of curious about how that dynamic came about. Like, he's a finance guy in New York, but you're a stay-at-home mom with like very traditional rules. But then you also say that you were part of building the business. I'm not saying I don't believe her. Right. I want to be very clear. I do believe her. I'm just curious about how someone like Sutton, who seems pretty strong-willed and like she always spoke up for herself or whatever, how that dynamic sort of happens to her, like how, like the process of him engulfing her in that way with his drug.
Have you never watched The White Lotus? I'm like, fair enough. No, I mean, I feel like I can see what happens. They have like a waspy.
You see it happening for Sutton, of all people, her personality.
Yes, I see her doing like following in like a waspy trajectory, doing the things and she's sort of getting hemmed in and she hates it and she goes into misery. I mean, I feel like I've seen it in many movies and I know everything about women from movies.
She got left is the thing, right? She got left. She didn't leave the marriage.
I forgot. Yeah.
He pulled out from what I understand, if I remember correctly. So like, how long was she going to just accept that? Like, I want to be clear. I'm not victim blaming. No. I'm just very fascinated about how a woman like Sutton, a personality type, like how it happens to her, or if the strong version of Sutton we're seeing is like in response to what happened to her, you know?
Probably all of the above. But I can totally see Sutton like doing what seems to be right for society, and I'm going to take care of the children, right. And my mother says this and that. And then all of a sudden, and then she's angry, and then she's like, so you're going to go out again with your friends while I'm here with the children? You know, like scenes like late at night in the kitchen.
She's tired of giving these kids Arnold Palmers. Like, she wants to go out too.
I mean, this is a show that aired on ABC on Sunday nights, you know?
That's true.
But I am with you, though. I think it's probably I like Sutton. I think that she's very fascinating.
No, I'm fascinated. I want the whole story. And what's unfortunate is because of like the drama that has happened with like the other castmates, like we only get certain like pieces of Sutton's backstory little by little. Like, how am I just finding out this stuff? We're on season, what, 4 or 5 of her?
Yeah, but that's what I love about her. I do feel like she's always revealing stuff. Sutton to me is what I want in a Real Housewife, which is that she cannot help but be herself. And next week, it looks like she's going to like, you know, go off the deep end, which is my favorite version of Sutton. So,
right.
I'm all about her.
I mean, maybe it's greedy, but I just wish I had more information.
It'd be nice to have like spend more time learning about Sutton than watching, you know, Dorit and Erica and Glam for the millionth time, because I literally do not give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck.
I know. I want to know, and I know we know this, but this is just an example. Like, I want to know how like a ballet dancer from small town Georgia meets Jennifer Tilly and becomes best friends.
Now that
you know,
is a dream.
What is that story? How the fuck did that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they showed us, she gets $300K a month in spousal support. How the fuck? I want to know.
I know Sutton's got many things figured out. So I know you want to know more about Sutton, but would you be okay if I told you that instead we're going to find out more about Garcelle and her kids?
No! hang me, Ombre. Come on.
So Sutton's like, now Garcelle, how about you? And Garcelle,
I know, I was so mad when she asked that question. I feel so bad because all you want is like a self-aware friend who goes, I've been talking about myself too much. Tell me about you. But I was like, no, don't ask this question.
Don't do it. So Garcelle starts to choke up and she's like, well, I could burst into tears right now.
And I was like, oh. This is why you don't get booked outside of the Coming to America sequel. What do you mean? I can burst into tears right now.
Do it. You're an actress. Do it.
I know, right? Come on.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crap.
Today, hip-hop dominates pop culture, but it wasn't always like that. And to tell the story of how that changed, I want to take you back to a very special year in rap.
88, it was too much good music. The world was on fire.
Fire, yeah. I'm Will Smith. This is Class of 88, my new podcast about the moments, albums, and artists that inspired a sonic revolution and secured 1988 as one of hip-hop's most important years. We'll talk to the people who were there,
And most of all, we'll bring you some amazing stories.
You know what my biggest memory from that tour is? It was your birthday.
Yes, and you brought me the Sade life-size cardboard cutout.
This is Class of 88, the story of a year that changed hip-hop.
Listen to Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the entire series right now on the Amazon Music app or Audible.
Happens commercial.
So she's saying how she's like, I think that Jax thinks that I'm doing it all wrong as a parent. I'm like, who cares? You're the parent. Do it. Like, who cares about his approval?
He's like a 15-year-old. Like, who cares? Like, not who cares, right? Like, if he's feeling something, his mom should care. But truly, you are the 15-year-old son of a famous woman.
And Garcelle has enough perspective. She should have enough perspective to be like, he is going through something. I should be attuned to it. But also, like,
I like to work. And I just don't see why your teen acting out in ways that aren't dangerous and is just lashing out emotionally the way hormonal teenage boys do is a fucking storyline. Like, yeah. I don't give a fuck.
Sudden had the best take. She goes, guess what? Teenage boys are kind of assholes, okay? They are.
Yeah,
that's why, they are. That's why I made my son work on vending machines.
Get over it. They are assholes. And he's the twin who doesn't have a girlfriend, so he's probably salty about that shit, too.
Yeah, he's 20.
His brother's not hanging out anymore. There's some girl over all the time. His mom is off filming Michelle Buteau's show. He's salty. That's what it is.
So Sutton basically says this is why she and Garcelle have this bond, because they're single mothers who have exes that are involved in their lives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then we go to back to the hotel, and now Kyle has led Dorit to like a standard, like if you went on to the Beverly Wilshire Hotel website, it's like, here's a variety of rooms. Here's your standard queen room. This one has, this is 200 square feet and has an ice bucket. So they're in this room. I mentioned this only because Dorit is pissed. She's like,
he's so mad about she's like,
why,
it.
Why don't I have the presidential suites? Why am I here?
Because Dorit, PK can't afford it. He's lying to you.
Now we know where that $10,000 went. PK's like,
hello?
All right.
He stole it back. He stole his money back.
When you see my wife, go get the envelope she keeps the money in and deliver it to the Beverly Wilshire. So basically, Dorit is so confused, and Kyle's like, doesn't this remind you of any movies you have seen? Not including Halloween Kills, obviously, which I was a star of.
Which I started. And I made very important, aside from Jamie Lee Curtis, who came to my show last season. She came on our show last season.
I mean, you know, Oscar winner Jamie Lee Curtis and friend of mine. Yeah.
A friend of mine. Do you think that Jamie Lee Curtis texts Kyle?
Oddly enough, I think she does. I do think that, but not all the time.
Or do you think it's like, oh, here's my fun reality TV friend that I don't take seriously?
I think that what she does is Jamie Lee Curtis is like, so who is J Balvin? Kyle, have you ever heard of someone named J Balvin?
J Balvin wants to meet me. Kyle, have you heard of him?
I think she checks with Kyle to be like, is this someone? I was going to ask my kid, but no, they have sick of these.
By the way, do you remember when Jamie Lee Curtis was in Offset's music video?
No, she was?
Okay, so I was so surprised by this, because I was like, why did Jamie Lee Curtis agree to do a video with Cardi B and Offset? And not only did she do a video with Cardi B and Offset, she and Offset recreated that James Brown interview where he had just gotten released from prison for assaulting his wife and was clearly on all the cocaine in that interview. And the like white woman reporter was trying to navigate this. Like, it's classic. It's from like the 80s or something, early 90s probably. And I'm sitting here being like, what how or whatever. And now that you say that Kyle might be her friend, that she like runs things through, I totally see her texting Jamie Lee texting Kyle like, should I hang out with Cardi B and Offset? And Kyle be like, yes, do it.
But no, Kyle's like, hey Alexia, what's Offset?
Chris Jenner, do you know Offset?
Do you know Offset? Are any of your daughters married to him?
Are any of your black red children fathered by Offset?
Is Offset a person or is that a filter on Instagram? I have to get back to an Oscar winner.
Absolutely. This explains everything.
Right? Like at that, I think it's that sort of relationship. So then Dorit finally realizes that this is a pretty woman thing. And she's like, but then when she finds out, she doesn't think, oh, this is so cute. She's like, but pretty woman, but like, gee, like in Pretty Woman, Richard Gere buys Vivian all the breakfast that she could ever want. And I have some crudités and fruit I have to put out myself.
She wants like the accuracy of Pretty Woman. She's like ready.
This is the only time Dorit will ever eat. So it's very important that this happens. We got to get Dorit some food on camera.
Yeah, she says, I mean, I've got to pour my own water. And like, I've got to lay out my own fruit. I mean, this is not exactly scream, hello, it's your anniversary. I'm like, you have free fruit and water and crudités in the Beverly Wilshire Hotel right now, and you still want more.
You're good, Dorit.
So then she's like, who's taking care of the kids? So she starts to get freaked out and everything.
As if she's never left the kids unsupervised. Girl, bye.
Girl, who was looking after the kids before you knew about the surprise?
Exactly. Like, when you got into Kyle's Range Rover, who was taking care of the kids?
So she has to do all that. And she talks about her anxiety and control issues. And she's like, you know, before I was at a 10, but after the two robberies, including when I was walking through beverages and more, and it turns out I had beverages and less. Oh, my anxiety is at 1,000.
Also, I know that like it's right to feel violated when, you know, someone takes something from you, especially after you had an encounter home invasion.
Of course.
But a burglary is not the same thing as a robbery. You didn't get robbed twice. You got robbed once, and then your stupid ass took a bag of money to Target and left it on the front of your cart. Those are two different things, my friend. That's one PTSD. You don't get to claim two PTSDs. That's one PTSD.
That was like a, oh, I'm a dumbass moment, okay?
Yeah, and
I mean, look, it's like you said, it still is violating even when someone does that. But that being said, they're different.
They're different. You don't get to, look, I'm going to sympathize with you, Dorit. Both of them suck.
And I understand the trigger. I understand how it would trigger her, but still.
But you don't get two PTSDs on that one. You get one PTSD and one really uncomfortable situation.
Their coupon is only good for one PTSD. Unfortunately. So Kyle calls PK, and because Dorit's freaking out, and PK's like, all right, tell her it's a beautiful surprise, and the entire family are in on it, and she's just got to relax, okay? And Kyle's like,
not a surprise anymore.
It's really not. And then so Kyle just keeps on laughing because it is funny. Like, this is one of those times I'm on Kyle's side. And then PK and Dorit are talking, and he's like, I'm talking to us in a confessional, and he's like, you know, Kyle and I, we laugh together a lot, and she enjoys when something potentially bad is happening to me. And when we talk about surprises and Kyle being involved, maybe the biggest surprise would be if Maurizio ever did that for her. That would be a big surprise. We're like,
I know, right? I was like, ooh, drag.
PK is like one of those guys in Target. He came out of nowhere and just... That came out of nowhere and so...
Scoop that bag, that Kyle and Maurizio 10K, like, whoa. But here's my thing. So then here's the question. Because they were friends as a couple, which means that Kyle was Dorit's friend, Mauricio was PK's friend. So what does PK know?
What does he know? I would like to know.
And Sutton said, that she had seen, the only rumor she had heard was that PK was in the car with a woman when he got stopped for that DUI.
Right.
So are they just regularly, because Mauricio's always stoned, like, are they just regularly, like,
covering for each other?
Covering each other with women under the influence and stuff.
There's obviously much more to this. So Dorit then calls her kids, which is, I don't know. She calls the kids and they're like, "Mommy, we're involved. We know everything. We even know that Bolin is coming to the hotel room later. We don't even know who that is."
And Daddy told us about the prostitute movie.
Daddy told us about prostitution. He also said that the night he got drunk driving over, that he had prostitute in his car. Okay, okay.
All right. That's good enough.
Thank you, Jagger.
Thank you very much. So now we go over to... we're still in the hotel room. Like, then the glam team arrives, Justine.
Okay.
And they come in with, like, a rack of red dresses, just like Julia Roberts is famous. And Dorit is still, like, unhappy. She's like, "He wants to put me in a red dress.
Here's the thing. I'm an actual designer and stylist."
I was like, oh my God,
Beverly
girl.
Beach.
You asking for Beverly Beach bronzer? I'm an actual stylist. Where's the Beverly Beach bronzer? Oh, give me a
If
fuck,
I'm going right? to wear this red dress around, I need some Beverly Beach bronzer. I'm like, well, maybe you should start manufacturing
it. Maybe she didn't want to look like a cheap prostitute and Beverly Beach bronzer was the only thing that'll make it work.
Beverly Beach bronzer is the chosen bronzer if you are a hooker with a heart of gold who's just been summoned up to the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. So, she says, "Well, the last few hours have been anxiety-provoked. No greater anxiety than being whisked away to a 4-star hotel and given crudités right? in a private suite." So,
it's even scarier than being robbed at gunpoint in my own home.
Apparently. So now PK arrives in her rented sports car in a tux at the hotel. And then we see, like, a montage of their, like, the history of their big surprises over the years. We have like that time they had a party and PK is like, "Ladies and gentlemen, we know we told you we were having some mold reclamation happening over here, but guess what? It's boy George."
It's like, "Oh no, we don't have a fungal infection. It's poor George."
Remember they invited everyone in there and said, "Sorry about the curtains. We have some black mold." Sorry about that. Got a little bit of black mold. We have some PKN95 masks.
And it was so taggy. Does he still represent Boy George or did Boy George fire him?
I'm not sure, but I think that they're... No, they do. No, they do. Because did you see that there's... Ronnie showed me this last week, that there's some sort of Peter Pan production that's happening this holiday season with Boy George as Captain Hook.
Who's playing who? Captain Hook?
Boy George is Captain Hook. Sense. And you know who's Wendy?
Who?
Dorit.
Shut the fuck up. You lying.
Look it up.
In real life?
In real life. This is a real life production that's happening. It's like Boy George is like this coy Dr. Hook. As in...
You're lying!
You see it? Did you look it up?
No, oh my God, you're fucking kidding me.
Boy George, Peter Pan. I'm looking it up right now. It's Peter Pan. Okay, it's Peter Pan at the UK Arena. It's like and it's on roller skates too, by the way.
Oh, you're kidding. This is not real. Wait, first of all, I don't know if this is the thing of my dreams or my nightmares. I think it's both.
This is a real production, okay? Starring Boy George and Dorit, and then like lots of other.
It's a tour!
with
Shut the fuck up! I'm sorry, I've been swearing so much.
You can swear. This is okay.
Oh my God, it's a tour. First of all, hold on. Look, for your audience that is watching this,
I'll put up the poster. Okay, let's see if I can put this up on stage. I'm on the thing. Okay.
And it says, wait, time out. Look, World's Biggest Productions presents.
Hey, babe, we got the world's biggest production ever of Peter Pan. Okay, I want you to be Wendy. All right? You're going to be Wendy. Boy's going to be Captain Hook. I'll be the crocodile. This is real.
Reviews. Wait, hold on. Reviews.
Oh, there's already been reviews.
They described it as Panto meets Cirque. I don't know what Panto is. And Blackpool Gazette editor Vanessa Sims reveals it didn't disappoint. I don't know anything about UK newspapers, but I certainly have never heard of the Blackpool Gazette.
I like that someone said it didn't disappoint. It could only disappoint if you had any expectations that it would be good.
Wait, hold on. Boy George arrived on stage to huge applause in a life-size galleon wearing his trademark eyeliner and huge hat. When he belted out Karma Chameleon,
Is it a jukebox musical too?
Oh my God.
What did Dorit sing? That's what I want to know.
It was clear to see he was in his element. Okay, hold on. You said Dorit was Wendy, right?
I believe Dorit is Wendy.
Here we go. You ready? Okay, here we go. Wendy was also brilliant. Her rendition of My Heart Will Go On while being attacked by pirates. Wait, no. Let me finish the sentence. Her rendition of My Heart Will Go On while being attacked by pirates with cream pies was faultless.
It's faultless. The combination of the description but with the rapturous theater review is one of the best things of all time. It was faultless. The way she sang My Heart Will Go On while she's attacked by cream pies from pirates was faultless.
With cream pies? Why are you cream pieing Wendy?
So that the most terrible thing happened to me. I had just taken out £10,000 from the bank to buy Christmas gifts, as you know. And then all of a sudden, three pirates came up to me and pounded me in the face with cream pies. I couldn't see a thing. And when PK finally licked the dairy off my eyelids, the money was gone. Later, the authorities found it under Boy George's massive hat that he's been trying to make happen for about 20 years.
Oh my God, I cannot believe this is real. Oh, it already ended. Oh, look, Blackpool Winter Gardens through October. Okay, then you can book tickets to M&S Bank Arena Liverpool in December. Oh, they have not booked. What do you mean World Productions presents? These are all small UK venues no one gives a fuck about.
That being said, I hope it comes to LA because I am seeing this.
If they come stateside, do you want to go?
100% I am going.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I just got a notification. Hey, they actually did book a venue. It's called the Capri Room in the Buca di Beppo of Encino.
Dorit's very excited to come back to her home stage to Buca di Beppo.
The way that she took five raviolis to the face while singing My Heart Will Go On was faultless.
Faultless is so absurd. Sorry, these are the sounds of New York. I apologize.
Oh, that's great.
And my window is closed, but like, I don't know why in November, men are still driving down the street with their windows down, blasting reggae and hip hop, and I just don't get it. But anyway, Faultless, just like as a review by a critic, like,
so is perfect.
So amazing.
It is.
Sorry, I know we went extremely off.
It is such is the stereotypical rapturous theater critic going to like a community production of Peter Pan on roller skates starring Boy George and television's Dorit Kemsley singing songs from the 80s and 90s while they take cream pies to the face. Faultless.
Also, cream pie is a porn term.
There's
I'm just like, I'm just kind of like,
There's so much happening, and it's all so much more entertaining than the actual.
Three pirates, and it's faultless.
And she's singing "My Heart Will Go On." And she's singing "My Heart Will Go On."
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay, so PK's arrived. So then they go down. So then Dorit and PK go down to Cut Lounge, not to be confused with Cut Fitness, but this is an actual high-end restaurant in this place. But they're too poor to actually eat anything in Wolfgang Puck's restaurant. So they just stand at the bar while a bartender doesn't know what to do. He's like, where should I put my hands? I'm on camera. And then they go back up to, this time they go to like a room that's like a double king suite. And they go up there and they go in. Oh, but first PK does the whole jewelry box thing, you know, like the...
Yes.
And I think that Dorit sincerely falls for it, even though it's very obvious what's going to happen. I think she's surprised.
Well, so here's the thing. And when you say that, I was trying to navigate this in my watching of the episode. Like, I'm not attracted to PK, obviously. But, like, Dorit is, and it kind of confounds me.
Yeah, that's. I think at this point we're just used to it. My friend was telling a story about how his fiance had horrific appendicitis because, you know, we're talking about this because obviously I had my appendix out. But his fiance had this terrible appendicitis. And then when she first went to the hospital, they're like, oh, yeah, your appendix is really bad. But then they started doing other tests, whatever. And they gave her antibiotics and then she went home because it got better. And then she kept on having, like, it kept on flaring up. But every time she went into the hospital, they were like, oh, I wonder what it could be. And they kept on overlooking the fact that she had originally tested for appendicitis. And they kept on testing her for this gastrointestinal thing and that gastrointestinal thing. And it went on for like a few years. And every time she'd be like in pain, but they would always prescribe antibiotics. So it would get better and she'd go home. And then finally, like at one point, a nurse was looking through her charts 3 years later and said, oh, hey, like you actually... They said you had a bet, like your appendix was inflamed, and people just sort of forgot about that. Like, oh yeah, so they took it out. The point is, at some point, we've sort of overlooked the central thing here, which is like,
PK's gross.
We've gotten so used to it that we're like those doctors who've sort of forgotten about the central diagnosis, and we're just like asking all these other questions instead.
Yes, because even when they showed their wedding photo and Dorit was so much younger and she's, you know, still a very beautiful woman or whatever, but like PK didn't look any better when he was younger or anything. And we know the money's not real. So I'm like, girl, why are we here? Like, are you letting this gremlin crawl on you and take you down?
Because like, he's like, babe, someday you're a star and someday I'm going to put you on some roller skates. Get you rolling around the boy George. Take a bunch of cream pies to the face. You're going to sing My Heart Will Go On.
Oh, my God.
And you're going to take over the Blackpool theater scene.
Once he's had to file bankruptcy and shit, like he has, the allure wears off. Like, why are you still there? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe she genuinely loves this dude.
The rumors are that there's trouble in paradise right now. So
there's trouble in paradise. But like for me, I kind of am just looking at him and I know this might be TMI, but like I just can't picture myself like enthusiastically gagging on PK's dick at all, ever. Like I don't give a fuck how many Pretty Woman movies you recreate. That's disgusting. You know?
Well, you know, it's like you look at a jar of mayonnaise and you say, ugh, but then you're like, I'll put some on my sandwich. So,
Fair enough. She's not gagging on the mayonnaise. She's just putting a little bit on her skin.
A little lubrication. So anyway, so they go. So after they like have a moment where they eat nothing at Cut, they go upstairs to their second suite, and PK goes, "Babe, I wanted to take your breath away like you do mine, Berlin." And so we walk in, and
I love this.
This was hilarious to me because I didn't realize it was actually Berlin. So I was like, oh, they found a random person with a guitar.
Well, she looks so different. She looks so different.
I don't have a vision in my head of what Berlin ever looked like.
Okay.
So, but I just loved that Berlin is there, and he just to reiterate to Dorit and the audience, he's like, "It's Berlin, babe.
It's Berlin.
It's Berlin." She's like, "No, it's Beverly Hills, actually." But you know, it sort of feels like it's sort of artsy in here, sort of like East Berlin. No, babe, the singers are Berlin.
We've got weird accents. We're certainly not in America.
But, Berlin, but what's that have to do with Pretty Woman? She's like, babe, babe, I put an offer out. I said, who can I get to the hotel for $10,000, which I conveniently have, and got Berlin, babe. She's like, oh, singing a song from a totally different movie. That's great.
Exactly. And that was another thing too. I was like, isn't Berlin from the Tom Cruise movie?
It literally says on screen from Top Gun. Were Roxette was Roxette's price a little bit too high? I mean, hello. How are you not? I mean, admittedly, that song is it must have been Love, But It's Over Now, not a good choice. But like, honestly, what about Go West? Go West is doing nothing. I'm sure they would have happily flown in to do King of Wishful Thinking for you, okay?
And it would have been one thing if, like, if he brought in Berlin and just, like, didn't mention that it was, like, Berlin so we could ignore that it was the wrong movie. But he demanded Dorit pay attention to the fact that he had gotten this bitch from the wrong movie.
Like, that's the thing. It's cool that he got Berlin, but if you're going to have, like, a song play, just have it from not another movie. Just have a song.
Right.
Make it anything. But, like, don't do another movie song.
Another 80s classic song.
And he tries to make it funny. He's like, well, maybe I'll take different movies and put them together. Like, take the Jungle Book and put in The Godfather. And Dorit's like, oh, no. Dorit does that voice where she goes, no, I have this. Okay. So they sit down, they drink, they have their dinner, and PK is like, I'm not going to surprise you anymore. This is too much work. I paid money for Berlin, and you didn't even appreciate it. You didn't even ask them to play Metro on the Metro, you know?
Well, he needs to stop complaining. That did not cost him more than $20,000. Berlin is not out here commanding Taylor Swift prices. Give me a fucking
Berlin
break.
Berlin was on the way to Rancho Cucamonga to play at the...
Exactly.
Meanwhile, watch that, like, the lead singer of Berlin is playing, like, the other sister from Peter Pan. He's just recruiting.
Exactly. Come on.
So Dorit is, like, upset. She's like that he made her, like, he's like, babe, I got you glam. Why are you so upset? She's like, you think this just happens? There's a lot of effort in putting this on. You know, you can't just slather on the Beverly Beach bronzer yourself. It's an art, you know. So, she is saying she just really didn't like the surprise, basically. So now let's move on.
Well, she's a control freak, as Kyle told us. So
she's a control freak. So speaking of Kyle, let's move on to Kyle's house. So it's Portia's birthday party. And Mauricio, we see...
Portia is so cute. All of Kyle's daughters are beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, that's good genes in that family.
I don't know why I forgot, but they're all very good. They're a very good-looking family.
They're a good-looking family. They're a good-looking family. So so basically, it's going to be a Portia birthday party. And as they're setting up, Kyle is like, hey, Mo. And Mauricio is like, oh, hey, Lobin. How you doing? And she's...
Also, the Love Bean shit, I'm over it.
I don't like Love Bean.
Stop it, Mauricio. I don't give a fuck about no Love Bean. We never heard this nickname before. What are we doing here? Are you trying to convince me or her? Or is this your, like, oh, I know my wife doesn't love me anymore. Let me use affectionate language. What is this Love Bean? What is this Love Bean? What is
maybe,
this Love Bean?
Maybe it's just his accent. Maybe he's really saying Love Bean as like there once was love and now.
Love's been gone. Love Bean.
Love's been gone.
I don't like this Love Bean thing because I will say that as obnoxious as Kyle has been being, it is very condescending for me to be disagreeing with you and then you're giving me suddenly this like new
you're naming me after something that makes people fart.
Right. Bean. Gaslight's too strong a word, but to like, you know, like dismiss me and manipulate me into acting differently. Right. Oh, Love Bean, you don't have to do that. Love Bean, suck my D, okay?
I don't suck my legume. So The producers are trying to show little like slices of life that illustrate the problems between them. So we see, so she says hi, and she says Mo, and he says, hi, love bean. What have you been doing? And Cal goes, you do that to me every time. Like you don't see me. And he goes, I'm joking, honey. I was like, oh, is okay. I guess this was Discord.
I didn't see the joke. Where's the joke? Where's the joke, though?
It's like, okay.
Don't jokes have jokes. Where's the... I was kidding.
And so then Kyle says that lately they've just, like, they haven't been on the same page and they haven't been in sync. And, like, it's just, it's so rare, but, like, they're just not in sync. And then it cuts to Mauricio putting guacamole into a bowl and Kyle saying, you need a spoon. He goes, okay. And then he pours it out anyway, and he's like, oh, I don't need a spoon. And she's like, well, I'll get you one to scrape it out. I was like, oh, I guess this is
my- How terrible.
What a-
This man hates this woman. They should break up.
This relationship is over. He managed to get the guacamole out all by himself and refused the assistance to scrape it out.
Is guacamole a metaphor for a lesbian that Kyle's in a relationship with? Like, what is this supposed to show me?
It's just another example how Kyle's been discarded. She's like, I brought a spoon. I brought a spoon, and he let gravity do all the work instead. So she's saying that, oh, no, he's put his heart and soul into the agency. It's the other woman. So then.
Oh, no, it's the 19th other woman, bitch. There's been other women before that. We saw you have to yoke up a woman on camera for hugging your man. Season two, was it?
Season one. I forgot about that.
There's been
That's
other
right, at the
women.
White party. She's like, yes. Too close. So then,
don't you touch my husband. Don't touch my husband.
But then all these people start coming to the house. Mauricio announces their name. He's like, Mo. It's like, Joey, Jake, Mom.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was surprised by, God forgive me, I don't mean this insulting. I was surprised by how plain looking the people in their friend circle actually are just because, like, both Mauricio and Kyle have done so much to themselves. Like, did you see Mauricio's veneers? I don't know why, but this episode really made them jump out at me. And so, like, it was so jarring to see how regular the rest of the people in their lives looked.
I know. Mauricio looks like he's eating a picket fence these days. But, it is actually more of a... But no, I think these are mainly coming from Mauricio's side of the family. I think if, you know, when Kyle's circle comes over, you get like Faye Resnick, get Kardashians, you get like any variety of things. Yeah. So people come over and Mauricio's parents come over and his mom is Estella. And Estella is like, she's like, by the way, is everything okay? Like with you and Mauricio? She says this to Kyle. She goes, I mean, every time I open up Google, there's like, there's something about you guys separating or divorcing. Like, it's getting to the point where, like, you know, I had to text Mauricio and I said, is everything okay? And, like, generally I don't believe these things, but this is too much. This is way too much.
So, first of all, like, ask your son. Why are you asking me on camera?
Yep. Especially if you already asked your son. Why do you need to ask, you know?
And then also, you weirdo nut job on the internet. I don't want to hear nothing you say. Have you seen her Twitter feed?
I've seen it. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's been a little nutty for a while now. So I'm like,
you don't get to ask me questions when you out here bugging out like that on the internet.
That's right.
Okay?
That's true. If you're
asking questions, okay.
So Kyle's like, oh, it's because I was seen without my wedding ring, and it started a rumor, and then she's like, I'm very taken aback that my mother-in-law is asking me this right now, as if Kyle doesn't put everyone on the spot all the time. I mean, Kyle's right, but Kyle also does this to everyone, and she's like, yes.
No, but also too, honestly, truly, do we really give enough of a fuck about Kyle and Mauricio that we noticed that her wedding ring was missing after one workout? Girl, get the fuck out of my face. You probably walked out of the gym and was like, hand up like this, like, hi, paparazzi.
Kyle does not go anywhere. If Kyle can wear a diamond and show it off, she will. It was totally intentional.
And truly, like, it wasn't until she started, like, the rumors of her dating, what's that singer's name?
Morgan McMorgan.
Morgan. Yeah. So it wasn't until Morgan that I started seeing Kyle in random paparazzi photos. Truly, I have never seen Kyle caught unawares anywhere.
Yeah.
So the idea that paparazzi would be like catching Kyle coming out the fucking gym and she just happens to have her wedding ring off. Like, give me a fucking break. Yeah, you know?
Nothing. I don't think anything is accidental with Kyle. So, so Kyle and Marisa are talking about how they're both feeling stressed these days. And, but like, this is happening while people are going over to the buffet, chafers, and setting things like they're everyone's serving themselves food. And Mauricio notices a pile of mail in the corner. He's like, yeah, we got to clean up that mail. It's like kind of embarrassing. And she's like, yeah, it's a real good time to tell me. I mean, I just told you how overwhelmed and stressed I am. And now you're telling me to clean up the mail? Like, lady. That's he just is like, oh my God, we have mail. We have a lot of mail. Yeah. We have a lot of mail. So then
and you do have a lot, have of, a lot mail. Of mail. It is a lot of mail.
We have a lot of mail. And he's realizing, like, oh shit, we have company over. We have a lot of mail. We gotta take care of this.
Your house doesn't look dirty to you until somebody's supposed to come see it. That's what my life is. Why are you acting like that's different? You forgot to call the cleaners this week, Kyle. And that's why you're mad, because you think he's calling you out when really he just noticed there's a lot of mail.
And also, like, I kind of feel like maybe on some level, Mauricio's saying that to, like, slightly loudly. So that way people are like, oh, it's his way of saying, if you're wondering why we have a stack of mail, like, our bad. We've got to do it. Like, we're aware. We know we got a stack of mail. By the way, I found it oddly reassuring to know that Kyle and Mauricio have a stack of mail, because I
have a stack of mail.
I always have a stack of mail. I'm so bad.
There is nothing, because I don't remember if it was this episode or last episode, but there was a scene with Dorit and PK in the kitchen, and PK was eating two bags of potato chips or whatever.
Yes,
but there was literally nothing out of place in their kitchen besides the fact that he was eating two bags of chips. So one, that was obviously very staged, but two, it stressed me out so much, because I know it's unattractive, but I need to see clutter in somebody's kitchen, please, because an uncluttered kitchen causes me so much anxiety.
Oh, well, you'd be very stressed when you start watching Salt Lake City, when they get to Angie K's kitchen, because it's like,
it's spick and span clean.
Well, it's like an unlived in kitchen. It will drive you nuts.
Oh no. No, I want to see like a mountain of mail. Maybe you don't have to have a dirty kitchen, but have like a coffee machine that looks like it was recently used, or like a fork laying around or something.
Or just like a little can with some pens in it. So
yeah,
I agree.
Or your unopened mail on the kitchen counter, because it's the first. Well, their houses are huge, but it's the first place you're in when you walk into the house. You dump it on the kitchen counter, and then you just go because
you're like, I'm like, okay, I got something from AAA. Junk. Looks like there's something from insurance. I'll deal with that later.
This is gonna go back to sender because he doesn't live here anymore, and then you just go sit on your couch.
Yeah, what I actually sometimes do is I will open my mail and I'll throw out the junk mail, and then I'll have the mail that's like, okay, this is important. I should keep this for my little filing cabinet. So I make a little stack, and then I put it back in like the bin where I keep the mail. So I have basically a little stack of opened but unfiled mail. So it's like fake. Oh, wow. It's fake dealt with, but it's still a stack.
So is your like mail bin, your mail bin is just, is opened bills that you're gonna pay later.
My mail bin is like, here's a letter from the IRS. Here's like, hey, your insurance policy. No, but I also have mail in there. So I don't check the mail for like 6 weeks. And then I do check it. And then I have like mail, unopened mail on top of opened and faux organized mail. It's terrible.
And then also just your college asking you for money.
That's on the recycling bin. That's, I love my college, but I'm like, that's going right.
It's like university reminding you that homecoming season is coming.
I know. It's like, congratulations. They just built a
sponsor a freshman this year or some shit like that.
Dartmouth College just built a street lamp. Would you like to donate? So we're at the dinner table and everyone's eating, and Kyle goes, oh, Farrah, look at your tattoo, which is a very Kyle way of saying, like,
I want to. Childish, too.
It's like Kyle saying, I want to talk about tattoos. She's like, look at your tattoo. Yeah. So Farrah's like, oh, it's not real. And Kyle goes, oh, she's testing it out. unlike me.
Me.
Summary.
I was like, and the thing to me, I guess, is like, I don't know, it's so transparent. Like, why isn't anyone else at the table being like, why are you acting like a five-year-old right now? Like, they're engaging, they're trying to work this tattoo situation out. And I would have just been like, bitch, what you need attention for right now? What's the issue? What's the real issue?
Exactly. So then, so Mauricio's eyes bulge, like, oh God, because he knows what's happening. And so Kyle goes, she whispers to Mauricio, do your parents know I have a tattoo and you have one too? And he's like, no. Which, it's like, again, Kyle's on camera. She know, even though she's whispering, she knows. She knows it's getting picked up. She's been around the block. She knows how this works.
I have a question, though. And you're Jewish.
Yes.
So I don't know if Mauricio's family is more strict. First of all, Ben, do you have any tattoos?
I have no tattoos. Except for
is that a
it's not
cultural thing, religious thing, or you just don't feel
I
the
never
need?
I've never really felt the need. Maybe there's some sort of cultural influence, but I also am like, I've never been able to decide on anything that I want to have in my body for the rest of my life.
Permanent.
I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, I have a hard enough time doing sorting my mail. I'm not gonna be able to figure out something on my body.
So I have three dumb dad tattoos that I definitely got all before I was 22. Like, it never occurred to me in my adult, for real adult self to get a tattoo. But were I to get a tattoo, it's not against Islam, so my parents wouldn't care on a religious level, but like, or maybe it is against Islam and I just didn't know. But like, my parents, like, I'm not gonna be like a very wealthy 50-something-year-old person and anxious that my mother-in-law or my mom finds out that I drew on my body. Like, you can all eat a dick. Like, yeah. What are we talking
but
about?
He's also he might also be like, ugh.
Dynamic here.
But you know what, though, Ray? Jewish mothers, they Jewish,
different.
Let me tell you something. This is what he doesn't want to deal with. He doesn't want to deal with, like, months of his mom saying, well, you know, you have a tattoo. I mean, this is coming from a man who has a tattoo. I mean, I thought I knew everything about my son, but he has a tattoo. He didn't want to even tell me.
Oh,
good. He doesn't.
I was just
wondering, he's not.
I was like, why does he care if she finds out?
He just doesn't want to deal with the hassle.
He tell her, and I was like, what? What? Like, what?
He knows it's going to be a thing. It's never going to go away. Yada yada yada.
Okay.
So now Kyle pulls Estella in the kitchen, and she's like, "Hey, I want to tell you something. You're not going to like it. I got tattoos." And Estella's like, "I'm okay. I mean, I don't consider you my real daughter." She's like, I don't give a fuck about you, Kyle. You're deeply mistaken.
It's my son. Don't ruin my baby. You can destroy yourself. You weren't born Jewish anyway. But this one.
Yeah, you're
the
a shiksa. We're still a shiksa. So Kyle's like, "You are okay?" She's like, "Yeah. Where's my son?" She goes, "What do you mean?" She goes, "I mean, you got a tattoo, so it's his name, right?" Which I thought was, I loved that power play of like, bitch, if you're getting a tattoo, it better be of my son's name.
It better be my man's. It better be my son's name.
Better be my son's name, because you've been playing too much Katie Lang around this household lately.
You've been working out and you're sober now. You better got my son's name on your
arm. You look like you just planted crops somewhere, okay?
I thought that was an interesting power play, especially since one of the first things she had done was walk in the house and ask if there was a problem in the marriage, right? But then when Kyle says no, because that's a jinx, it's like, but bitch, you've been married for 30 years. Like, what could be a jinx at this point?
Yeah. How about the fact that Kyle and Mauricio are on the cover of the Knot magazine celebrating 25 special years together? That's what I call
that's
a jinx. That's a jinx.
Yeah.
I got a promotional box because of that. It arrived in my house. It said, it was a box, and you opened it up and it was like 25 years strong. Me and Mauricio. It's like audio that came out. And then it was a shot ski, and there were glasses, and there was the magazine, and there
she
was
don't even drink anymore.
Let me tell you something. It was a great box. It was a great box.
Of course.
I will happily support Kyle's marriage if it means I get more boxes like that, because that was great. Whoever did that, whoever put that back.
Kyle's not supporting her marriage. She don't want no boxes no more.
But this was, but by the way, this was Kyle's counterpunch. When Estella says, like, what's going on with your marriage? And she's like, it's fine. This is Kyle saying, okay, you want us, you want me to squirm on camera? Now you're gonna squirm because I have tattoos. So Estella's tattoos. Like, Estella's like, uh-uh, you're not gonna catch me. You're not gonna catch me. She's like, I don't care.
Did you put his name on you? Did you put his name on you? Like God intended.
So Kyle's like, no, I didn't. And it's a jinx. And Estella's like, oh, well, you know. And she goes, oh, and I know the girls have one. She's like, I know. You're trying to outfox me, but you can't outfox me. Yeah. So then Kyle's like, oh, yeah? Did you know your son has one? So Estella's like,
oh. She got her. She didn't get her.
Estella's airplane in the movie, like now there's smoke coming out of the wing. She's like, I've been hit. Take my breath away, Berlin.
But like, honestly, though, did you like? I'm just having such a hard time. I know this is all very stupid, but like, I'm really truly having a hard time wrapping my head around my 70-something mother freaking out because I have a tattoo that's clearly so unnoticeable that I've never seen it before.
Well, maybe it's because maybe Estella doesn't like Kyle. Maybe Estella never accepted Kyle.
That's what I was wondering.
And Mauricio is between the two of them. And so like, he knows his mom's gonna be like, she's a bad influence. And you know what? Like, she's cheating on you and you should leave him. And he probably doesn't want or you should leave her. He probably doesn't want to hear it. And that Kyle has given Estella more ammunition. And it's the last thing she wants to deal with.
Because I was trying to find out the dynamic, because the way that the mom felt so comfortable asking her about the marriage on camera, it didn't feel like a genuine, like, good relationship. It did feel like I already talked to my son, but you tell me the truth. Okay?
She is a psychologist. Like, she knows.
That's true. She's a psychologist? Oh,
isn't
my
she,
God.
Isn't she a psychologist or a psychiatrist?
Can you imagine that crazy lady in charge of your brain? Oh, no.
I should double check that before I... But I'm pretty sure she is, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying. But it didn't feel like a warm dynamic is what I'll say.
No. So now they light the cake for Portia and Kyle... Kyle is so ridiculous, but she tells Mauricio, she leans in and says, oh, I told your mom that you have a tattoo. And he's like, what is wrong with you?
What?
Why would you do that? And so she's like,
and he's absolutely right. Like, why would you do that, you weirdo? And now it's a joke. I took it back. I mean, I took it.
And then she's like, oh, like what? And then she's like, I mean, she doesn't care. And he's like, but why would I not be allowed to say that? Like, what is up with that? That's like my body, my choice. And she's like,
after he had just told her that she's not allowed to get more tattoos. So like, I was like, what do you mean my body, my choice? Like,
that's true. So then Kyle's like, well, she noticed a tattoo on, but then by the way, she was the one who did say it's my body. I'll do what I want with it. So it goes both ways. So Kyle's like, well, she noticed a tattoo on me. And then I said, like, I said, you have one, but maybe don't. I said, maybe don't. So I don't know, which is like, literal lie from Kyle.
Oh, that's so stupid, right? And didn't they literally flash back to them seeing the moment? And she doesn't say
she
that,
says, does did she? You know that Mauricio has a tattoo? It was so then he walks away, and then she's like, oh, well, now he's mad at me. I mean, I realized she meant him. Like, I said, like she basically talks about how she tried to cover, like, maybe I saw it, maybe I didn't. I don't know. I don't think that she really believes it. But now she's doing that thing where she appeals to someone else, like, oh, he's mad at me. For me. So
then you, when all you were trying to do was make him mad, is the thing. Like,
well, that's how she operates. She likes to get people mad, and then when they get mad, she's like, well, I feel bad. Oh, I shouldn't have opened my mouth, or like, no, I'm the bad guy. Now they're mad at me. She like fires, but then retreats.
But this time it doesn't even just feel like firing, because you remember she goes into the confessional and she's like, sometimes a marriage is amazing. Like, you love every single thing about them and you love whatever. And then sometimes everything about them annoys you. So it's like, you're clearly not just like in an antagonistic relationship with your rival on a reality TV show. Like, you are really trying to piss this man off because you are in real life upset with him.
But also,
for some unspoken reason.
But didn't she do this exact same thing to Kim and to Kathy? Isn't this her MO? Like, no pun intended, her MO. But like, isn't this kind of what she does? And I think that she's always had someone that she just like rattles. And so then Kyle is like, she does the thing like, why did I open my mouth? And then she goes up to Mauricio and she's like, well, she doesn't know for sure that you have a tattoo. He's like, I don't want to talk about it. It's not, it's like, you know, it's right. Not about that. It's like, it's mine to talk about, not anyone else's.
Also, bitch, this is our 15-year-old's birthday party. Like, what are you doing?
So Kyle's like, you know, when people talk about going through a tough time, this is it. Here we are. A tough time. And
the tough time is a birthday party, and you mentioned to his psycho mom that you have a tattoo. That's not a tough time. That's a situation you created.
Kyle, like, what are we talking? There are people who are going through tough, real tough times. People who bring $10,000 into Best Buy and get burgled.
Stalked by pirates who bring fire and steal $10,000 and the TV out of her cart.
Some people are just trying to stand on an Apple cart and distribute thousands of dollars to the street urchins while they sing My Heart Will Go On, and they get assailed by literal pirates on roller skates throwing cream pies in their face.
And Captain Cook may or may not tie you up to a radiator and beat your ass for three days.
That is the real story of Pretty Woman.
Come on. I mean, like, obviously, like, listen, if your marriage was smooth or relatively smooth and it's different now and you're discovering things about yourself or whatever, fine. That might be true. But you're going to confuse all of us and actually minimize our capacity or limit our capacity for empathy when you deny that anything's wrong. You trivialize that there are big things going on in your marriage. And then the things you harp on are these ridiculous things that make you look like a rebellious asshole, you know, like,
yeah.
You just look like an obnoxious teen, you know, it's just really
that's the
fucking
thing. That's
dumb.
That's how it's coming off. And like, there's a way to do this where you don't look like the teen and people be totally on your side, but there's something very Kyle about this,
like,
all.
And I know, and again, I want to be clear that I understand that there's this like Jewish tradition part of the tattoo of it all, but like, of all things to suddenly get rebellious about, it's a fucking tattoo and piercings. Like, bitch, come on. I did this 25 years ago. I'm 35.
Yeah, like,
it's so trite.
The tattoo rebellion just feels like it's so like 1987. I don't know.
It's so trite. Come on. It's like so, it's so cliche, like, oh, I drew on my body to make a statement because nobody can tell me what to do. Yeah. Okay,
she really wants to rebel. She'd start up an OnlyFans. So,
come on, Denise.
Okay, so anyway, after this whole tattoo thing happens, then basically they are like, oh, I guess we still have 10 minutes of airtime. So we watch a very long segment of the women all packing, the women going to like Van Nuys Airport. Erica shows up in a big green outfit with like a snakeskin outfit. She goes, yeah, it's a little pimping, but here I am. I was like, wow, you're so current. And then
where's she getting her money from, by the way? I know that no one mentioned that part this season yet, but she looks pretty good in my opinion.
Well, I got a beat on some dame who was at CVS. Had $10,000 to spare. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I'm like running out of big box stores. Now I'm at CVS. Dorit's just like, what's left?
I just want to see Dorit at the Dollar Tree with $10,000. She might walk out with the whole store. You know?
Well, I have to give a gift to everyone in the audience for Peter Pan Live. I just spat all over my microphone. Disgusting. Okay, so they all fly to Las Vegas and they're cheersing, and it's basically segues into coming up next week, which is Sutton freaking out at Magic Mike Live. So there's no use going over this stuff. The real climax was the tattoo. So that really brings us to the end of the episode.
Tell me. Was the red phantom?
Oh yeah, there were red phantoms waiting for all the women when they landed in Las Vegas. I feel like half the women did not know what a red fan, they're like, phantoms.
Yeah, I was like, what? It sounded to me like Garcelle was just repeating it because Erica said it. You know?
Dorit's like, oh, tickets to Phantom of the Opera. Exciting. Is that on roller skates also?
Oh, she's gonna get cream pied by the Phantom.
I hope in my version of the Phantom of the Opera, instead of a chandelier falling on the stage, it's just a giant cream pie. Faultless. When the cream pie fell from the ceiling as Dorit Kemsley was singing Kathy Tricoli's song, Everything Changes, it was faultless.
Truly faultless. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Ray, thank you so much for coming on to this episode and just thank like
you. This being... was really fun. I know we talked so long.
It's all good. It was so fun to reconnect with you. You are so funny. I love your takes because they're almost, I would actually say like 99% always like deeply accurate. Like I never was able to look at Portia the same after, not this Portia, but Portia Williams. After we did an episode once and you're like, Portia's a con or something like that. And I was like, you always convince me. You always take me to your side. So
I'm just good at arguing. I'm probably wrong.
No,
all the
you
time.
Have a great read on people. You really do. Is there anything you want to like promote or shill or anything like
no,
that?
No, listen, I'm just working. Look, we just got back off strike. I just got back to work. So I'm hyper focused on my day job and affording my life again. So like stand up and stuff is going to take a backseat and I'm maybe going to dip in and out of watching reality TV. I really just need to recover. And then, I don't know, maybe next year I'm going to pop out with some plastic surgery and you guys are going to think I'm amazing.
Wow. Well, I just want to let you know after this, I'm going to get your name tattooed on my body.
Oh, wow, yeah. Wow,
it's a fish.
Your mom gonna be mad about it?
It's a fish. So thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it so much. And no everyone, problem. We will catch you on the next episode when Ronnie will be back with many, many tales of BravoCon, I'm sure. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. Catch you all later. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.